Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 7. We read the entire chapter. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the body, with the flesh, the law of sin. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. Before we turn to the catechism, we read from Scripture Romans 7. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. It's based upon passages such as this and many others that we find the teaching of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 2, questions and answers 3 through 5. And there we read the following. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. What doth the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly, Matthew 22:37-40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to have comfort in life and in death, we need to know three things. First, we need to know our misery. We need to know what the law demands of us. We need to know the torments of hell that we deserve. Not, of course, that we wallow in that misery, but we must know that misery. Because if we did not know of that misery, we would never look for deliverance. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, they that are whole need have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We must know our misery if we would look for deliverance. We need to know our misery outside of Christ. In the second place, we must know the deliverance that God provides. And lastly, we need to know the thankfulness that we owe to God for that deliverance. With Lord's Day 2, the Catechism begins that first section concerning the misery of man. In this Lord's Day, we learn how it is that we come to know our misery. Lord willing, next week we will learn where that misery comes from, where that depravity comes from. Romans 7 is one of the passages as we consider and begin to consider the misery of man. Romans 7 is one of those passages that deals with the misery of man that is ours by nature and how we come to know that misery. The apostle speaks of himself in Romans 7, verse 14, when he says, "I am carnal, sold under sin." He's talking about his misery. How he came to that knowledge, he talks about in verse 7 and following, but I read only verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." He sees then that the law reveals his misery. But finally, he ends on a note of hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope. The hope of deliverance, and that is in the last verse of the chapter, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The apostle understood that he was prone by nature to hate God and his neighbor. Let's consider that truth of Scripture then this morning under the theme, prone by nature to hate. In the first place, let's note the meaning of that. Secondly, how we come to a knowledge of that. And lastly, the hope that we have in the midst of that knowledge. Prone by nature to hate. The meaning, the knowledge, and the hope. Scripture reveals to us that dark truth that we are prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. To be prone is to be inclined to have a propensity towards something. If we think of an apple, under the force of gravity, that apple is prone to fall to the ground. And if I held an apple in my hand and released that apple, it would indeed fall to the ground because that is what it is prone towards. Well, in a similar way, mankind is prone to hate God and his neighbor. God commands us to love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But in fact, fallen mankind is a creature not of love, but of hatred. Now, of course, there are many who dispute that. If you ask a person on the street what kind of person they are, likely they would tell you, basically, they are good. That is to say, basically, they are loving creatures. But in fact, God's Word says otherwise. Mankind by nature is not basically good. We are creatures by nature of hatred. Scripture speaks of fallen mankind as hating God and hating our neighbor. We serve ourselves by nature, and therefore, by nature, we do not submit ourselves to serve God. That's hatred. When we refuse to submit ourselves to God, that's hatred of God. As long as someone serves their own idols, they are not serving God. Jesus says as much in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and your own idols. God describes, in fact, those who bow down to idols of their own making, God calls them those who hate Him. That's the commandment. The second commandment, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. One of the classic passages that describes that hateful nature is Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, beginning at verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Does not that show hatred? Somebody who refuses to seek after God? Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. The mouth, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. That's hatred. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Mankind, by nature, is prone to hate God because we are prone to serve our own lusts and desires. We could point at many, many scriptures. One more that points to that truth. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is the way we are by nature. And the Catechism says as much. Question and answer number 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. But what does that mean? What exactly does that mean when we say by nature? I want to take a little time to explain those words. When theologians use those words, by nature, we ought to understand they are not talking about the whole of our essence. So that means saying, this is what I am by nature, is a different thing than to say, this is what I am, period. Saying, this is what I am by nature, is not the same thing as saying, This is what I am with the whole of my being. Those are different things. Rather, when we confess, I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor, we are talking about a natural condition that is determined by birth. A natural condition that is determined by birth. By natural birth, we are part of the mass of humanity represented by Adam. By natural birth, we inherit both the guilt and corruption of Adam. That's what the psalmist declares. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You see how he connects that with his conception and birth. If we fail to make that distinction, we will run into all kinds of theological problems. Now it's true. By nature, the wicked reprobate continue wholly wicked. They continue to be wholly wicked in the whole of their being. But that's not true of believers. That's because God works in believers. He works a dramatic change. By nature, we were dead. We were. But God makes us alive. As a whole, then, we are no longer dead. We are alive. In Jesus Christ, we are alive. And so it would be entirely proper to say, by nature we are dead, because we inherited that deadness. We inherited that death from Adam. By nature we are dead. It would be entirely proper to say that. But it would be wrong to say, we are dead, because we're not dead. The fact of the matter is, we are not dead. We are alive. And that's what the Scripture teaches in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We could properly say, by nature we are children of wrath. By nature we are. We could properly say that. But it would be wrong to say of believers, we are children of wrath, because we are not children of wrath. By nature we are. But we are not children of wrath any longer. We are no longer under God's wrath, because Jesus Christ took that wrath upon Himself. We are not children of wrath. That is to say, listen to what the apostle says. We were by nature the children of wrath. That is, in the past, we were the children of wrath as the result of our natural birth. By nature, we are children of wrath, but we are not children of wrath any longer. Now we are children of God. That's what the apostle says in the following verses. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Immediately after saying, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then he goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That is, He hath made us alive. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By nature we are dead, but now we are alive. Now we can understand what the Catechism means when it says, I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. In the first place, that tells us where that hatred came from. I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Where did that come from? Where did that hatred come from? It came from our natural birth. We inherited it from Adam. That's where that corruption came from. That in the first place. But then secondly, that tells us why we are not able to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and why we are not able to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are not able to love perfectly because what we were by nature still clings to us. In other words, we still have an old man of sin. That's why we are not able to love God perfectly. By God's grace, we are able to love, but we cannot love perfectly because of that old nature. Indeed, we have only a small beginning. And that's the battle that the apostle speaks of in Romans chapter 7. That battle between now that new nature that God gives to us and that old nature. The battle between the new man and the old man. Romans 7. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. On the one hand, the apostle can say, I am carnal, sold under sin. And we could translate that more literally, I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. What he is saying is that he still has that fleshly principle, the old man, clinging to him. But notice at the same time how the apostle distances himself from the old man. He's not saying, that's not me altogether, but he distances himself from identifying himself with that old man in verse 17 when he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Even the Apostle Paul was prone by nature to hate God and his neighbor. Why? Because of that flesh principle that remained in him. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. What is that flesh principle all about? Romans 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is all about hatred. The carnal mind is hatred to God and our neighbor. Literally, we could translate that, the carnal mind, as the mind of the flesh. The mind of the flesh is against God. The mind of the flesh means that we are prone by nature to hate God. How did the apostle come to that knowledge about himself? And how do we come to that knowledge about ourselves? How do we find out that we are carnal, sold under sin? How do we come to the knowledge of our misery? Well, the apostle tells us, out of the law of God. Romans 7, verse 7. For I had not known lust. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The law reveals our sins and sinfulness. If the law had not said, thou shalt not covet, the apostle would never have known of that lustful nature. So the law is as a measuring stick. It shows us God's will as regards our duties. And then any departure from that, any shortcoming from that measuring stick, is sin, by definition. Sin is a missing of the mark. We find a definition of that. Definition of sin in 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So that when we line up our works next to the measuring stick of the law, we see that we fall short. God tells him to love him perfectly, but we don't do it. We set other false gods before him. We worship him according to our own thoughts instead of worshiping him according to the way he commands. We take his name literally and by the way that we live. We don't keep the Lord's Day holy as we ought. And so too, God tells us to love our neighbor perfectly. He tells us to honor those in authority over us, not to harm our neighbor as regards his life or his marriage or his property or his good name. Do not harm him in those things. God tells us not to desire those things that don't belong to us. When we measure ourselves, comparing ourselves with the law shows us that we fall short. And it shows us then that by nature, we are prone to hate God and our neighbor. We still do not love God and our neighbor as we ought. Of course, the law all by itself is not enough to bring us to the knowledge of our misery. The Holy Spirit needs to apply that to our hearts. Without the softening work of the Holy Spirit, what would the law do? It would not bring us to a proper knowledge of our misery. Without that work of the Holy Spirit, the law actually hardens a person in their sin. The law, or rather I should say sin through the law, brings forth death. Romans chapter 7, verse 7, we read, what shall then? Is the law sin? We were in the flesh, sins which were by the law to death, in which the law all by itself actually stirs up fleshly desires. When the law says, don't do this, the flesh says, that's exactly what I will do. And when the law says, do this, the flesh says, I will not do that. Once the law is known, sin rages even more. Romans 7, verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. But sin wrought all manner of concupiscence, evil desires. So what sin does is to twist the law and brings forth those wicked desires. That's what the law does apart from God's grace. It's not that the law is evil in and of itself. The apostle expresses that strongly, verse 12, Romans 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law is good in and of itself, but the law cannot save. The law is powerless to save. The law is not a means to save us. If we are looking for a way to be able to stand before God righteous on the judgment day, the law will not do. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. We read, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law cannot save. Well, what then is our hope? What is our hope? Certainly not ourselves, because by nature we are prone to hate God and our neighbor. The law proves that. We saw already that we cannot put our hope in the law. The old man will only twist the law and rage on more viciously in rebellion. What then is our hope? Well, the apostle answers that question at the end of Romans 7. After he explains that the law revealed his misery, he cries out for deliverance because he cannot provide deliverance to himself. Romans 7, verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But notice the apostle does not end on a note of despair as if there was no deliverance. Rather, he rejoices because there is hope. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I thank God. Who shall deliver me? God will through Jesus Christ our Lord. He will deliver me. But the only way to come to that knowledge, first, that there is deliverance, is to know our misery. Beloved, do you know your misery? Do you know that you are prone by nature to hate God and your neighbor? And then do you want to be delivered from that misery? Do you cry out with the apostle, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The way is Jesus Christ. The only way to be delivered is Jesus Christ. Lord willing, we will see that in the weeks and months ahead after the Catechism finishes its treatment of the misery of man. We will see that deliverance is only through Jesus Christ. May it be that we would ever look to Him for all of our salvation. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, truly by nature we are miserable creatures. And yet, by thy grace, we have life. And we rejoice in that life. And we pray that thou wouldst preserve us in that life and bring us to the full enjoyment of that life at thy appointed time. But while we remain yet in this life, as we are beset by our old man, by the devil and the world as well, we pray that thou wouldst preserve us. Forgive our sins and keep us by thy grace, that we may serve thee and honor and glorify thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.